Genesis chapter 22 verses 1 through 14. This is the reading of God's word. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do not do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord he will be provided. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we could truly hear, so that our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear and understand, but also believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, and we give you all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a very familiar story. God commands Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. And we are very much surprised that Isaac has to die. But we are also much surprised that God would command Abraham to do something that God himself would later ban through his laws. Do not kill. Well, as we all know, Isaac is a sinner who truly deserved to die. Some people will say that Isaac is only a child. They will say things like, what did he ever do that God would command Abraham to kill him? God is cruel. But they say these things because they do not understand what God is telling us through this story. And they also think wrongly that all children are innocent of sin. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So the Bible is very clear. As soon as you're conceived in sin. As soon as you're born as a sinner. And as a sinner, we all deserve the eternal punishment of hell. But if we understand the story correctly, then we will know that this story is about amazing grace of God that saves the sinners who truly deserve to die forever. The amazing grace of God that prepared a ram in place of Isaac. You and I too are the sinners who truly deserve the eternal death, but God has prepared for us the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to die in our places. Indeed, what we see in this story is the amazing grace of God. So let's begin, verse 1 and 2. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Well, God is testing Abraham. You see, instead of getting rid of trials and sufferings from our lives, our God causes and permits these things to test our faith. And when that happens, my question to you is this. How far will you go in trusting God? I want you to really ask this question when the trials and suffering comes in your life. How far will you go in trusting God? Will you believe and trust our God even if it means to die? In doing things for God, what would be your limit? Is there something that you say, no, I cannot give that to God? But up to this point, I'm surely I will give to God. What will be your limit? You must answer these questions for yourself. And I hope you remember that question as we look at this passage. The land of Moriah. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1a says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord, the temple, in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. So, on Mount Moriah, the temple was built by Solomon. Now, Jesus died on the cross, Bible says, just outside of the temple in Jerusalem. Thus, many biblical scholars believe that one of the mountains in the land of Moriah in our passage is the Mount Calvary in the Bible, Golgotha in Aramaic, where Jesus died. But we cannot know for sure. But at least those two places are, if not the identical place, they are very close. Now, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Now, some of you are not father yet, but if you are a parent, you will understand how precious your child is. To Abraham, his son Isaac was more precious than his own life. It would be easier for Abraham to die himself rather than kill his own son. God is commanding Abraham to offer his very best. Again, in offering to God, what will be your limit? Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men and him and Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Our verse says Abraham rose early in the morning. God just told him to go and kill his son, and he gets up so early in the morning. What's the picture there? Not even a hint of hesitation. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. It says, on the third day. Which means there were many opportunities, see, in those 3 days, for Abraham to change his mind and go back home. And yet he didn't do that. And what's the picture there? Well, Abraham continues to obey. He obeys to the end. Verse 5, Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham says, I and the lad will go over there, and we, both him and his son, will return. We see Abraham's faith. That faith is being witnessed here. He completely trusts God. And he is certain that both he and Isaac will return. And verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac, picture this, carrying the wood of the burnt offering. And this reminds us of Jesus Christ carrying his own cross. And verse 7 and 8, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walk on together. Now, Abraham completely trusts God, but Isaac completely trusts his dad and God, of course. Walked on together with one heart. Now, Isaac, completely trusting his dad. Verse 9 through 14, the rest of the passage we read. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. On top of the wood, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham and Abraham, 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 twice. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it has said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Now, Abraham did not even spare his own son. He fears God. He loves God. He loves God more than anything. But we need to understand very clearly what this event, and through it, what is God telling us. What we see here is that our God, pouring out His amazing love, amazing grace to Abraham, and also to Isaac. Look at what God is doing. God invites Abraham to participate in His, God's, life. Through this event, we are told that God finds out Abraham's heart. But in actuality, Abraham finds out God's heart. God's heart. To save you and save me, our God did not spare His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom He loves. Abraham truly now knows the heart of God, because he was invited to participate in the life of God. Now, we are not saying that we know the truth by our experiences. No, we know the truth only by and through His Word, His revelation. But the stories that we read in the Bible, the stories themselves are revelation. The story that you read in the Bible is not the same as your experiences, because your experiences are not revelation of God. But stories in the Bible are revelation of God. So through that revelation, Abraham actually knows now the heart of God. Through this event, we know how much Abraham loves our God. Like it, through the cross, we know how much our God loves us. How much does Abraham love our God? Well, Abraham gives his very best, all he has. He gives his own son. Then how much does our God love us? He gave his very best, his own son. And Jesus Christ gave all he has, even his life. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. And if you don't understand the gospel in these terms, you're not fully understanding the gospel. In Philippians, we saw that life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, what life was that? It is giving oneself for the good of the others. And yes, that is the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are invited to live that same life. And here, Abraham is living by faith. Faith working through love, because without faith and without God's grace, no one is able to do what Abraham has done. Unless you are crazy, killing your own son. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19, it tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his own begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Through his life, Abraham witnesses his faith. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. Through faith, he grows to be more and more like God, like Jesus Christ, and he participates more and more in the life of Jesus Christ. He participates in the life of God in loving us so much that he gave his own son. And you have to understand, this is what true blessing is all about. That God calls us to participate in the life of him, life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think blessing in terms of the worldly things. Oh, those things, even non-Christians get it. You don't even need to be Christian to get the worldly things. Actually, I keep telling you, if you want more of worldly things, you have better odds being non-Christian. Because look outside. Who's more wealthy? It's non-Christians. So why would we Christians think God's blessing in those terms? The very purpose of God for us is so that we could be like God. Oh, we will never be God, but we could be like God. And if you want to be like Christ, and his life was life of suffering, and his God's purpose is so that we could be like him, then what kind of life do you think that God will lead us to live? Life of Christ. And look at Isaac. Isaac is living the same life. He was born when Abraham was 100 years old. So, at the time of this event, Isaac is not like little baby, but he's not old either. And we don't know exactly how old he was. But when we read verse 9, when Abraham is binding Isaac, Abraham, over 100 years old. Could not Isaac overpower Abraham, who was so old, and run away? But what do you see? Do you see Isaac also participate in the life of Christ? Isaiah 53 verse 7, Jesus, talking about Jesus, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before the shearers. So he did not open his mouth. Do you see in Isaac Jesus Christ when he was dying on the cross? I really believe he has power to overcome his dad and run away. And yet, here he is. Even though he knows what is going on, because he was asking, where is the lamb? And the father was binding him and putting him on the altar. He knew what's going on, and yet he obeys. What makes him do this? If not faith and the grace that God gives him. Even to the point of death. If it is about being offered up to God, then Isaac voluntarily obeys. He imitates our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Abraham, Isaac, and all of us, we are all sinners who truly deserve the eternal death. But on the cross, the Lamb of God that God has prepared for all of us, Jesus Christ, died in our places. He died for our sins. He paid in full the complete penalty of our sins. And we are saved by God's grace. Now, as sons of God, we are invited to live the very life that Jesus Christ has lived for us. We are invited to participate in his life. Thus, we too give ourselves, give our very best to our God, and give ourselves, give our very best to the other people. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. Do you see how much God loves you? And do you see how people of God show their love to God? Look at our passage. You know, we pray, you know, we sing those praise songs telling God how much we love, but I wonder if those people truly understand what loving God is all about. Just because you say a million times through your lips, you think you're loving him? Understand what the Bible is telling us. If true Christians like us, if we cannot show the world what truly being a Christian means, then who will? Who will do that then if we are not doing it? Speaking, you know, it's cheap. And when I say this kind of thing to you, I'm included in there. I'm not saying I'm better than you. Actually, I'm probably worse than many of you. But I pray that, God's word will convince you of what being a true Christian really means. It's to become like Jesus Christ. And Bible says when he returns, we will be just like him as we see him as he is. That is the goal of God for us. And if that's what God is doing in our lives, to make us more like Christ, then don't you think that Christ has to be witnessed through you in what you do and what you say, at least a little bit? That's our focus? Always Jesus Christ. He is the purpose, the motivation. He is the meaning. And when we take out Jesus, then there's nothing left as far as Christianity goes. We have nothing to say. Brothers and sisters, we now live the gospel itself. Like I said before, it's not just through what you say, but through how you live. The gospel is being preached. And we do this by faith. Only by living this kind of life, we will enjoy the true joy of Christianity. As we live our lives, we will face many trials and sufferings. Believe me, you will. If God loves you, you will. As we live our lives, we'll face many sufferings. But we too do our best to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, who obeyed the will of God to the point of death. Some of you think your life is so hard. And I'm sure it is. But understand the Bible. When Bible talks about hard life, the suffering, the true suffering of Christ, our suffering cannot even compare. And yet, Jesus, going through that kind of suffering, he never complained. And I'm not saying your suffering is just nothing, but look at what Jesus does in response to those kind of sufferings. And you are called to imitate him, to participate in his life. That you give thanksgiving to God. That God is allowing you to be like Jesus in those suffering life. You show how Jesus lived by you yourself suffering. That's how you witness him. And I know this kind of message, it's just, you know, I feel so grateful. Even though we're a very small church, where can I go and preach it like this? That's why I really appreciate all of you. And I thank God for you. Because at least here, I could preach like this. To us, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Our sufferings in our lives are a participation in the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. To the extent that you share the sufferings of Christ, rejoice when you are suffering. Suffering is blessing. If you truly understand what the Bible tells us, God giving you all kinds of opportunities to be like Jesus Christ. Why would we reject that? As you come to the table today, as you meet Jesus Christ, who is with us spiritually, and through those elements, see what kind of life he has lived for us. And through those elements, Understand how far he went because he loves you. He obeyed our Father to the point of death, and he gave his all, his life to us. See that his life is now our life, and his life is what our life is all about. And as you participate in the Lord's Supper, you witness that you are now participating in that life, the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, are we not sharing his blood? Are we not sharing his body? Are we not sharing his life? Brothers and sisters in Christ, look what he has done for you. This is how much he loves you. And I want you to be certain as you participate in the Lord's Supper today. God truly loves you. And it's not just with his lips. He gave his life. So brothers and sisters, let us gladly participate in his life. It is our honor and joy to live that very life that he has lived. And those elements, yeah, they're symbol of his body and his blood. But they are now, because of what Christ has accomplished, they are now our spiritual nourishment. Just like your body needs food, your spirit needs food. And that is your spiritual nourishment. And with eating and drinking Jesus Christ, our spirit grows to fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Symbolizes the table. You coming and sitting at the table of our Lord and having fellowship with your God. That's what is true of you as you come to the Lord's table. Yeah. I will understand if you say, let us spend more time fellowshipping with God so that we will sit here and we enjoy God's presence with us and having fellowship with him, eating and drinking that spiritual food. And you're telling me, I don't want to stop this. Let's keep going. I get it. I understand. That's how you feel. But one day, it's not going to be just your desire, but it will actually visibly consummate it when you see him come back to gather you into his glorious place. Just can't wait until that day. All we believe, whatever that Bible tells us, and all these precious things that we believe, it will be visibly consummated on that day. But I pray that today, that you will see your heavenly reality as you come to your table, come to his table. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. It is truly amazing what your Son has done, clearly showing us how much he loves us. And we thank you that you have shown us through your word how much you love us. Yes, we are amazed at Abraham, wondering how he could love you that much, sacrificing his own son. But Father, we are more amazed how much you love us, sacrificing your own son for us. Oh Father, let us love you back. We are not able to love you how we ought to, but Father, by your grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit through your word in us, at least we will be able to show just a little bit that love that is in us because you loved us first. But Father, we are certain that one day when we see your Son face to face, in that glorious place, we will be able to love you perfectly. And we long for that day, and we pray, and we join John in praying, "Come, Lord, quickly." We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.